This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, welcome back. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Friday to you. Was laughing last night, about 7 o'clock at night. It's kind of not random text, because we have a group thread of me, Paulie, and Ben. And we're oftentimes texting, hey, did you see that or whatever. But last night was an off night for the Padres. Like, they weren't playing. What did you guys watch instead?
I started The Clubhouse, the Netflix Red Sox series that you spoke of so highly yesterday.
So good.
I see why you spoke so highly of it. It was very compelling. You learned about the weirdness that is Tristan Casas.
It's a weird dude.
Weird.
It's a weird dude. Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting guy. Yeah. Interesting guy. What'd you think of Andrew Bailey?
He's sharp.
Man crush.
He's love that guy.
Sharp
big,
for sure.
Big man crush on him.
Obviously, the Jaron Duran, you know, mental health issues is compelling and interesting. I mean, yeah, it's a good start to the show. I only watched about the first 40 minutes or so.
I think I'm three or four episodes in on that. I watched a couple last night. The first episode, they do a good job of kind of just wetting your beak a little bit with all the different storylines, like the Jaron Duran. Like, wait, I think it's like episode three. They really dive into that.
Yep.
They dive into like Casas and all the call ups with Andrew Bailey there. It's really well done.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's just,
and I hope they do more of
God,
this.
God, you have to find another team.
Craig Breslow seems kind of boring.
Craig Breslow is an interesting. So again, he's one of those guys in the front office.
Former player
who's played 10 years, right? Or 14 years.
CEO, head of the organization, or chief baseball officer.
Yeah.
So president of baseball ops.
And it's wild. Like, because I don't know, man, you get the sense, like, if Craig Breslow did not play 14 years in the big leagues or whatever, the way he talks and, like, doesn't command the room, you could probably see the players, like,
yeah,
like he, sleeping
he
in that meeting.
He almost kind of did when he was doing that. He did, like, his spring training speech.
Like his
they showed it.
And speech? It's the
they
worst.
They were pretty much falling asleep.
They were. Like, they're like, guys are, like, slumped back in their seat, like, all right, buddy, whatever you say.
It reminds me of the Jaguars' new coach,
Duvall. He does.
He's kind of,
he's just got that thing. That thing. But Alex Cora, I mean, you really kind of grow to like him in this thing and how much he loves his players and all that. But it's really fantastic. So you watched some of that last night. Paulie, what did you watch?
I had one episode of White Lotus.
Oh, nice.
Two episodes.
Season what? Two?
I finished season one.
Okay.
So it's waited to start season two.
Sicily.
Watched that probably a little bit today. Watched
you're playing golf today. You're not watching that. Oh, tonight.
Maybe.
No, you're Padres tonight.
Padres, yeah. This weekend. Watched two episodes of the Red Sox doc and watched, first two episodes of season four of Hacks dropped last night.
Well,
and it's amazing.
So as Paulie, whilst he was watching all of these, you know, this smorgasbord of shows, he was also indulging in one of his favorite pastimes to unwind. totally legal, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't do anything wrong.
Completely legal. But he texted us this last night, and I started sniggling. Because I go, well, we can make a bit out of this. Not like we have a million weed drops we can play.
You took a hit off Penn Higgins?
Took a hit off Penn Higgins.
It's amazing how many...
Last night was Penn Griffey Jr.
Penn Griffey Jr., okay. It's amazing how many tier ones in the chat also named their vape weed pens Penn Higgins. There's probably dozens of Penn Higgins around San Diego now.
If you don't have a brand deal with a weed shop like by today, what's our agent doing other than sending me Instagram memes? Got two more yesterday.
Everybody must get stoned.
I forgot about that drop entirely. I think that was like Monday or Friday. Like, it's within the last week.
It was within the last week? Okay.
Everybody must get stoned.
There he is. Penn Higgins, everybody.
I'm not a Bob Dylan fan.
So Paulie writes this to us. He goes,
loose cannabis?
There, yes. Paulie says, total stoner thought. I admit it. He's just laying there, smoking his Penn Higgins. He goes, I'm just going to text the guys an idea. He says, if any of us were the manager of the Dodgers, does that team still win 90-plus and the division? Smoking and watching the Red Sox doc, and they were talking about how great Cora is. And I started thinking about the manager's impact on actual games. And he's just sitting there, laying in bed like,
Big Bomba Cross, Big Bomba Tsunami.
He's just laying in bed going, watching that and going, well, could I manage the Los Angeles Dodgers to 90 wins in a
ganja,
season?
Ganja, a.k.a. cannabis.
They were just blowing Cora up and how great he is. And I agree. I think he is one of the top managers in baseball. If I was a player, I'd want to play for a guy like Alex Cora.
They've had some crap years under Alex Cora lately. And now, they've had a bunch of injuries. And they talk about that. They have really young players. And you really see it in the second episode, like how bad defensively they are. Yeah. You're like, what is going on?
They have a young team. They've had young teams over the last few years. And we've talked about this before, like the manager's impact in baseball for their team. I personally think, and I love baseball, I think they make the least impact of any head coach in sports.
I think you're crazy.
I think football coaches probably have the most impact with the play calling.
Yeah.
I think basketball, like you don't draw plays you don't call a timeout in baseball and really draw up a plays, but like you're down two with 4 seconds left. You need a coach that can draw up a play.
Yep.
They have that impact. They're making subs all the time. Like, I think they're a little bit more impactful. Baseball managers, you got to let the guys, you put them in positions to win, but they have to do the work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right.
It's
funny because, Paulie comes in up with his question in between the munchies, but I immediately take it incredibly seriously.
Of course he did. Yeah, let me read you.
Sports talk.
Which was outstanding. It was the best response.
It was absolutely perfect. And of course, like, so here's Ben. Immediately. So again, Paulie, I'll reread Paulie. Total stoner thought, I admit it. But if any of us were the manager of the Dodgers, does that team still win 90-plus in the division? Smoking and watching the Red Sox doc and how they were talking about how great Cora is, I started thinking about the manager's impact on actual games. Ben, immediately. Do our players think we're legit or have we lost the clubhouse before we walk in? I think we could fake it to a playoff spot if they think we're a real manager, but it's really just us. If they know we're some unqualified radio host, they probably tank at some point. Paulie says, yeah, I guess you'd be assuming they play hard in this scenario.
I read Ben's text and I go, I'm too high for that.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting a legitimate response.
Like a laugh, like, stoner thoughts.
Well, I think I've always heard that in baseball circles, they think a manager can affect between like 3 and 5 games one way or another. A good manager help you win 3 to 5 more. A bad manager might cost you 3 to 5. So if you're talking about a 95 to 100 win team already, what's the worst that we could do? Probably down to like 90, 92 wins. We all know baseball enough, like standards, strategies. You know, we know when to put on hit and runs for the most part, and we can figure out some signals. It is not rocket science. Now, Mike Shildt takes it way to another level beyond what we could do, but it's mostly the talent of your players and whether they perform and come through. So I do believe, Paulie, that we could manage a really talented team into the playoffs. The question would be,
Do you really think that?
Do I think that?
You really think that?
I think we could. But I think the big question is if we came in and they knew that we were like, you know, the owner's nephew who's just a radio host who's a baseball fan, none of them would really want to play hard for us.
No,
so it really does matter, like, what our reputation would be walking in the door.
I will say this, man. I don't think I could. I don't think I would win. I don't think I even if you gave me the Dodgers roster or the Padres roster. The Padres roster is fantastic. I don't know how many big league games I could actually
like
win.
What game the Padres so far this season? 10-3. What game would you have messed up?
Any of the 1-0 games. All of them. Any or all of them. There's no question. Like,
I might have pinch hit Jake on the day he hit the home run,
because
he was going up against a lefty, and I might have had a quick trigger, and Mike Schilt stuck with Jake. But that's also, that's a guess on his part as well. He could have been wrong on that one. I mean, there's no guarantee. Or, you know, he may have pinch hit, and whoever he pinch hit would have hit a home run. You don't know the alternate outcomes.
Well, so the thing about, I'll say this, and I wonder if people will disagree with this or agree with it, but I think managing a professional baseball team is harder than literally ever been in all of the eras of baseball. I really do. I think you have to be way more of a psychologist than you ever have had to be. Alex Cora, in almost one of the first scenes in that movie or in that documentary, he says, look, it's not all about the numbers, right? Sometimes we want to make it all about the numbers. It's not. It's about, hey, man, how are you? How are things at home? What's going on with you? Did you get a good night's sleep? All that stuff. He's like, I got to do that for 26 guys every single day. Believe me, there are guys on his team, Ben, he can walk up to and say, hey, buddy, good to see you. And he never talks to him again. Then there's guys like Bello, the pitcher. I'm sure his entire day is spent, everything's fine, you're okay, you're good, you got great stuff, you're good, buddy. And I'm sure Mike Schilt has to deal with some of that, too.
I mean, if I was, you know, like Paulie's hypothetical, made the manager, I'd instantly be a guy who empowers his coaches.
Okay. Like Skip always talks about.
I got some good coaches.
Cover my blind spots.
You know what? Yeah. You're gonna be making a lot of the decisions because I want to empower you to make good decisions here. And I empower my players and the leaders in the clubhouse. Hey, you're the ones policing the clubhouse. Hey, bench coach, I need you to be in charge of strategic decisions for me. I just delegate. Just delegate, delegate, delegate. And I would sit and do the post-game press conferences, which I would be really, really good at.
Yeah, you do good at those.
Yeah, I do good pre- and post-game press conferences, and that's about all I do throughout the course of the season.
I would definitely have a really strong support staff, a very, very strong support staff, and I would defer a lot. It's hard. It really is a hard thing. I mean, the game, we talked to Skip Schumacher yesterday. It gets away from you so fast. It really, really does. You have a plan going into an inning. I'm going to roll with this guy if he gets us through there. Well, he hits the first guy. Oh, crap, he just hit the second guy. I should probably get somebody hot. You know, who do they have warming up down there? Oh, God, that lefty or that sidearmer? Who hits sidearmers better, right-handers or left-handers? Like, it speeds up on you. In adult league, it speeds up on you. Like, crazy. I can't even imagine 40,000 people in the stands. Game on the line, billion-dollar players out there trying to do that and do it for 162. Like, I don't know, man. I think the day-to-day of that would grind you down so hard. So, and you lose six in a row. How you feeling? Still feeling good? Still feeling confident about all your decisions that you're making? No, you want to die. You want to die. And even the best managers with the best teams go through really crappy streaks. Guys aren't playing well. I don't think I'd win 80 games with the Dodgers. I really don't. I really don't.
Now we just need a name for this new segment. Paul's.
I think it's everybody must get stoned.
Huh. Everybody must get stoned.
I can't hear it enough. I cannot. Hear it enough.
We got Don't Do This is coming up next. Yesterday, we told you some of the wild stories from the history of Augusta National Golf Club.
Yeah, there's a new one.
Did not expect what happened yesterday would have ever happened. And this wasn't a spectator or anything. This was one of the actual competitors at the Masters. If you haven't heard this story, Wait for it. Coming up next with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
Don't Do This.
It's time for Don't
do this.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How are you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Got Clark Farenthold from Mad Friars coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. You put a different spin on it every single time.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the effort you're putting in.
Yeah, I'm looking for what works.
So I don't know if it's genetic, but there are certain people. It doesn't necessarily make them bad people.
Oh boy!
But they're just inclined to be troublemakers.
Hmm. Can't relate.
You've got a little bit of that.
less than I used to.
Less than you used to.
Yeah.
Kids, you were talking about one of your kids.
One of my kids. Oh my God.
Ja Morant. He's a troublemaker. He is. Demetrius Jamel Morant.
Yeah, Ja's a nickname.
Ja's a nickname.
What's a nickname?
Mm. So, of course, Ja getting in trouble multiple times for doing his imaginary gun celebration to celebrate three-pointers after his history of problematic gun, you know, possession. And so the league really trying to crack down on him with a $75,000 fine. They don't want to see it anymore. So, of course, the mind of the troublemaker goes, I don't want them to have the last laugh. So Ja has now started celebrating his three-pointers by pulling a pin and lobbing a grenade.
Yeah.
A mock celebration. And he says, I intend to do that until somebody else has a problem with it, and I will find another one. He has to have some sort of, you know, violent weapon celebration after a three-pointer. He's
How about just a double thumbs up?
on it.
I do like the troll of the grenade. I do. I think it's funny. I think it's a funny troll. Oh, you don't like this? How about this? Bazooka.
Bazooka. Next.
I mean,
nunchucks.
Nunchucks. Swords.
When do we get like a musket and he's like pouring
powder? Yeah,
pouring powder.
That's a gun. He'll get fined for that. That's a gun.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, I kind of like it, too. Dominic says he's leaning into the heel role completely. Kind of like it, actually. I do, too. I think he's, you know, I think there's a part of it that is trying to expose the absurdity of it all.
I'm sure. That's what troublemakers, I think a lot of the troublemakers
about when
are doing
that. Last week or earlier this week or whatever it was. But, like, I'm torn on it because I understand why the NBA doesn't want him to do that. I also understand that he didn't do anything illegal.
And he hasn't done anything that a lot of other players aren't doing, too. You know, that's the thing.
Plenty of other instances of guys hitting a three and, you know, doing finger guns or whatever.
Yeah, liking this. Poison. You could
do. Yeah, poison. A blow dart. slingshot. You can't get me for a slingshot. I'm sorry. Every kid has a slingshot. You're not getting me. Butterfly knife.
Remember Fernando Rodney used to do the bow and arrow?
Yeah. Oh, it's the best, dude.
He'd be fine if he was an NBA player.
Just a little switch comb. So good. Waterboarding. Sully, oh my God. Yeah, I mean, I do kind of enjoy it. I can't wait to see
electric chair.
Yeah. What else would be a good one? Lethal injection. You just
Jeff says old school like Bugs Bunny dynamite box.
Yeah. It's pretty fantastic. Pretty fantastic, man. Yeah, and a lot of MLB players, they've done the grenade. They do that thing where they, and everyone falls over. Look, I get it. This story yesterday came out, and I'm not much of a pearl clutcher. I'm really not. Like, you guys know me. I don't clutch my pearls a lot about much. This one kind of made me go, is this guy out of his mind? I think I was more scared for him because of some of the stories we've talked about, just how stringent things are at the Masters, at Augusta.
They want you to be
proper. Respect
the most.
Respect the tournament. Respect the grounds. Correct. At Augusta National. They put a lot of effort into that place, and they want you to respect it.
Well, one of the amateur players, 21-year-old Spaniard, who plays at Arizona State, Jose Luis Ballester, really made an impression on the fans in his very first Masters appearance on Thursday. He had to go tinkle. And he forgot that there were bathrooms to the left of the tee box on 13. So he just ran down to Old Ray's Creek, unzipped it, and relieved himself right in Ray's Creek. And they asked him about this after the round.
What happened there? Well, I completely forgot that we had those restrooms on the left of the tee box.
Okay. 13th tee.
Yes, yeah. Correct. And then I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go, and since JT had an issue around the green, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna sneak here.
Yeah.
In the river, probably the people would not see me that much, and then they clap for me. Probably one of the clubs that I really got today, like real loud. So that was kind of funny.
Were you concerned that there might be any blowback from that at all? Or I mean, obviously they did see you, right?
Yeah, they saw me. They saw me. I mean, it was not embarrassing at all for me, so if I had to do it again, I would do it again.
Apparently in Spain, you can just take it out and go wherever you want.
Well, he said they clapped for him.
They clapped for
him. So the way the course is set up, the patrons are only on the right side of the fairway, and the left is the creek and then a bunch of trees and everything at the edge of the property. So he has back to, like, everyone when he was there, but they all knew what he was doing. He was just waiting. They were waiting. He had a long wait in the fairway. He had missed the restroom already. This probably wasn't another one for two or three holes. What should he have done at that point?
If
he goes back to the restroom and misses his, like, window, he's penalized. He's, like, out of the tournament. So, you know, if you're out of position, you get a shot, either a two-shot penalty or you're disqualified if he's late. So is there any other alternative other than going somewhere in the... And there was no bushes. It was just the creek. There's no. If you go on the other side, it's just people. So it was the private side of the fairway. Couldn't get across the creek. There was only one place to go. It was the creek. I think they have to understand that, right?
Why am I more offended about this than you are?
Well, I just don't know.
It's the Masters.
Obviously, he should have gone at the, you know,
at the turn, or
like
whatever,
every parent says to their child.
Do you have to go to the bathroom?
You should have.
Why didn't you go when
we stopped at the tee? We were just at the tee at the restroom, and now 5 minutes later, you have to go.
Number one.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when nature calls.
Maybe it was his cavalier attitude about it after. Like, I'm not embarrassed. I would do it again. Like,
what? That was probably a little.
You know, somebody slapped his wrist at that place, right? Like, they got him good. They sat him down.
I'm surprised he's not dead.
Yeah, for sure. At least locked up. You know, for sure. But when I saw this, I went like this, and I never do that ever. So we'll see what happens to this young man.
Finally, a little doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
Here's something from baseball that hasn't been seen, well, in a really long time. Last night in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, minor leaguer Amarion Boyd stole six bases in a game without getting a hit. Pulled off defeat for High A Beloit, Wisconsin, against Cedar Rapids. He was the ninth hitter in the lineup playing center field. Reached on a fielder's choice. Stole two bases. Reached on a walk. Stole two bases. Was hit by a pitch.
Sick.
Stole two bases. Got to third each time.
Yes.
But then, get this. He walked again in the ninth inning, but...
They threw him out.
No, there was already a runner on in front of him, so he had nowhere to go.
He said,
I thought it would be even more crazy if I got eight. He told the Associated Press, I wish I could have had two more. It would have really been... crazy then. Reportedly, they tried to go back and find the stats. It's been at least 20 years since anybody's stolen six games in a minor league
six
game
bags.
Without at least getting one hit.
Six bags.
Six bags.
Yeah. You said games.
Bags.
It'd be hard
bases.
To steal six games.
Yeah, well,
but
probably illegal, too.
If anybody could do it, it's the Colorado Rockies.
He has a 98 steals career. Not this season, but career. 203 minor league game. So essentially a steal every other game.
That's fantastic.
Good pace.
Six bags in a game is elite. It's elite speed.
You never know. Could get a call up, you know, a late season pinch running call up,
no
even
doubt.
If he's never going to get an at bat.
With speed like that?
I mean, it's not a good sign if you're batting ninth at single A.
But you're probably
not a top prospect.
You sound like my little leaguers. I know, well, I'm batting ninth. I'm like, you're in the lineup. Zip your lip. By the way.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Now, speaking of the minor leagues, we can get an update on what's going on with the Padres in the minors, including the debuts of two of their top draft picks from last year, pitchers. We'll talk with Clark Ferentold from Mad Friars. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Quickly, though, if you are a homeowner, let your old pal Woodsy tell you about all the great work that Loan Pronto is doing right now. If you're feeling a little bit underwater, credit card bills are piling up, whatever, time to call Loan Pronto. If you're looking to get cash out of your home's equity, refinance out of a high rate, or, again, do a home improvement project, Loan Pronto can make it happen for you in a matter of days. Take advantage of this opportunity. Get tens or even hundreds of thousands out of your home's equity. Pay off your credit cards. Pay off your car loans. The average homeowner cuts their monthly bills by $1,000. Get more info at loanpronto.com. Inflation, higher costs put a lot of people in a stressful financial situation. But again, if you own a home, there is a way out. Loan Pronto has multiple options that can help you get the financial freedom you deserve. Most homeowners get their cash in less than 2 weeks. Most don't even need an appraisal. Do the smart thing now. Stop paying insane rates on your credit cards. Wipe them out. Get a lower mortgage rate. Get some money for the home improvement project. It all starts by getting in contact with the experts at this, Loan Pronto. LoanPronto.com or call 619-207-4336. It's LoanPronto.com. Equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Padres, Rockies, tonight at 6:40. Sammy Leavitt will have your Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show for you at 5:40 today. I believe he'll be back up at the loft at the Western Metal Supply Company building in his new spot, near his old spot, but with all the changes they made in that building. Looking forward to seeing them for myself tomorrow.
Yeah.
I have not gone up there yet, so get a chance to see all the changes. I have gone into the team store, which is really...
It's pretty special.
Really improved.
Yeah, it's really good.
They really did a nice job.
I'm excited for that one.
With the redo of the team store.
Drop some coin tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yeah, just got paid today, so just some of that goodbye.
Yeah.
So fantastic.
Too convenient. It'll be too convenient. You'll be right there tomorrow. So.
I mean, how much gear can my family have? I mean, how much is too much? I feel like we have too much right now. Wish there was an exchange program. Let me bring you back to...
Like trading baseball cards, but instead you're trading baseball
gear. Yeah.
Jerseys
so much gear.
Yeah. It's also cool looking, though.
Oh, it is.
Although Paulie's the only one who can pull off
Paulie
the
pulls
City
off
Connect
about 95% of it.
Hat with
the jacket.
The pitching ninja shirt today. Yeah, Paulie's always, he's got the good fit,
yes,
as they say. All right, we're going to check traffic, and then when we come back, we'll talk Padres in the minor leagues. Mad Friars' Clark Ferentold is going to join us next year with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Padres were off yesterday, but their minor league affiliates roll on. The full season has started. Triple A, Double A, High Single A, Low Single A. And joining us right now, they do such a great job covering the Padres in the minor leagues at madfriars.com. Clark Ferentold is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Clark, happy Friday morning to you.
Happy Friday morning, guys. Glad to be here. Glad to talk a little Padres farm system with y'all.
How, man, a couple of really nice debuts for some Padres pitching this week. And, you know, like, really good stuff. You see the videos that come out that you guys send out and some other you know, crazy Padres fans that are monitoring all of this on a daily basis. But Boston Bateman, Cash Mayfield, tell us what you saw from those guys.
Yeah, I think if you're Cash Mayfield, if there was an ideal professional debut, I think he probably made it the other night. Yeah. I don't know how it could have gotten much better. Watching him, obviously he missed the spring breakout game, but he was someone who I think looked good. He talked a little bit after the game that he was, a little bit nervous, which, good for him for admitting. But, man, he went out there, attacked with a fastball. The changeup looked really good, had really good depth, late fade. He was getting guys out in front on that thing like crazy. And the fastball, too, it flashed. It's coming from a little bit of a lower release point, which helps him, play up a little bit. But he was getting around max around 18 inches of induced vertical break. It was, riding really well. I think for Mayfield, again, that was about as good as you could have asked for in a first professional outing for him.
And then last night, Boston Bateman, who
the big guy,
he was the second pick
the Padres in the draft last year, correct? A really big guy. Actually, I remember I told the story when I was on our holiday break. I was in an Uber in Las Vegas, and my driver said I was wearing a Padres hat or something. He goes, "Oh, you're a Padres fan?" I go, "Yeah, I actually do radio at the flagship." And he said, "We're good family friends with the Batemans. Their son Boston was just drafted, and he could not speak more highly of him. He said, just a baseball rat, just loves the game, so excited to be joining the organization." How did his professional minor league debut go last night, Clark?
You know, good. I think he definitely flashed some stuff. I think when you're watching him, it's certainly a physically imposing force stepping over the bump. There's not a lot of guys you see walking around at 6'8" that have that amount of athleticism up on the mound. You could already tell they've kind of, you know, reworked some small things. They've definitely refined the motion a little bit. I think the sinker looks really good. I mean, about 12 to, you know, 13 inches of horizontal movement on it. Walks, I think that's just a little bit more of a causality of it being his first outing. Slider, he spun over there a couple times. You know, it looks solid with some good movement. And, you know, I think for a debut, for a guy who's still a teenager going out there, I thought it looked good. You know, he got a good amount of whiffs. I think I had 6 down on my ledger as a total. And, yeah, I just think he's someone who I think long-term, higher ceiling guy. I think San Diego, at least, I'm sorry, I should say, I view as more of a longer-term project. But he's someone who I think has a ton of upside, and I think you saw it at times last night on the mound.
Clark, we've seen the Padres be aggressive with their top young prospects on a position side. Guys like Jackson Merrill, how quickly they've got up. You know, Leodalis DeVries on the fast track, Ethan Salas. But what about on the pitching side? What's a realistic expectation for guys drafted out of high school to get to the big leagues like Cash Mayfield?
You know, I think a guy like Cash has the ability to move a little bit quicker than some of the arms that maybe we've seen in the past. He's a little bit older for a prep arm. He's already 20 years old. So I think he's someone he'll probably, in my estimation, have, you know, what I think will be some good amount of success in low A. And if that continues, I would think maybe there would be some aggression to go ahead and move him up a little bit quicker because, again, of the age and where he's at right now feels like, to me, a more advanced feel of his pitches. So I think, you know, pitching, it's been a little bit different of a, you know, case than it has been for hitters. But if Mayfield accelerated a little bit quicker, for me, I wouldn't necessarily be shocked because of the factors there.
Talking to our buddy Clark from Mad Friars, talking a little Padres minor leagues. But, you know, the one thing we always talk to you guys about, too, is, look, obviously with a couple of guys banged up on the big league roster, you want to make sure you got guys that can come up and spell them. Who's kind of tearing it up right now, raising some eyebrows in the Padres front office here in San Diego as guys that could come up and help, you know, if not right away, on the fast track?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously a AAA is a guy we already saw, but Omar Cruz, definitely someone who flashed. I think changeup, big curveball that definitely has a good movement profile to it. But another guy that's in AAA right now that's looked fantastic through his first three starts is Ryan Burgert. I think that's someone who, after last season, you know, there was a little bit at the beginning of the year starting in San Antonio where it was a struggle. But towards the end of the year, he really found it, had a really good spring training. And then here in AAA has been, especially in PCL, getting a lot of whiffs. I think in his last outing, even when he got tagged up a little bit, he had a whiff rate over 30%. I think he had 16 swings and misses total. The fastball has its good rise back to it. I think early on he's averaging around 17 inches of induced vertical break. The slider's spinning tighter again. He's someone who I think certainly, if he keeps pitching well, you know, you always force the issue if you're a guy. If you're pitching really well, it's hard for an organization to keep you down. But I think he's someone you could certainly maybe look to at some point getting a call if something happens pitching depth-wise. Another name that we also saw in spring training is down in Double A right now. I don't know how quickly they're going to want to move him, but Braden Nett continues, I think, to show some of the best stuff in the San Diego system. The fastball is fantastic. He works a really good slider off it as well. It's all about for Nett is just holstering that command a little bit more. If he can do that, the stuff arsenal-wise is good enough to play at the big league level, I would think.
Clark, if the Padres decide to go a different direction at some point from Jason Hayward, maybe Yuli Gurriel, and not necessarily the prospects. I mean, they've already added Oscar Gonzalez to the 40-man and the 26-man. They could call up Connor Joe. We know that. He's on the 40-man. But the other guys who aren't necessarily there. Well, Tirso is, I believe,
Jonathan Perlaza has been hitting as well. And then Trenton Brooks had a walk-off. Who do you think they'd call on if they were going to add another guy to the 40 from AAA at some point?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think looking through it, I mean, like you pointed out, Brooks with the walk-off home run last night has looked good. He's got a really high pull fly ball rate, up above 50%. The only concern I've sort of personally seen with him is that the exit velocity numbers are a little bit down. He only has about a 33% hard hit rate. You know, I think there would be a consideration for Tirso. Tirso started to pick it up certainly here in more recent times. But, you know, I think it's going to be codependent on, you know, say if Hayward goes down, are they going to bring up someone in the corner? Are they going to go defense first? I think, yeah, I would probably be somewhere between the idea of a Tirso and Ellis or probably going with a guy like maybe Jonathan Peraza. And Peraza, to your point, is someone who not only has hit the ball well, but he's someone who I think has a little bit of an underrated plate discipline numbers. He has the ability to take a walk. So while you'd be sacrificing certainly there with defense, you get a higher upside offensive profile from Peraza.
How's our boy T-Wade doing down there?
You know, T-Wade's hitting. We'll give T-Wade credit down there for El Paso. He's hitting above, I think, 315 right now. He had a couple knocks, I believe, last night. You know, again, to T-Wade's credit, scrappy ball player. He does the little things right.
Yep.
If you need a sack punt, he does it for you. He can swipe a bag. He's looked all right down there, though. You know, he's clearly comfortable. I'm sure he's doing great in the clubhouse for them. But, no, he's looked good.
Campy, too, right? Campy's kind of tearing the cover off the ball down there at AAA.
Yeah, you know, Campy, if you're looking for someone who's absolutely scorching the ball, that's what Luis Campusano has done for these first couple weeks here, and, you know, down in the El Paso Chihuahua ranks. I think going into it, I think he has a barrel rate above 13% right now for El Paso. He has a hard hit rate over 50%. He's scorching the ball all over the yard. It seems like the changes of going back to his more traditional stance that he's been working on here recently has certainly paid dividends. But everything that's coming off his bat right now is exceptional batted ball data.
And then finally, what was I going to say?
He just shorted out.
Out for a second.
Oh, the Friday short out.
I know. I wanted to ask you, will the Padres regret losing Tom Cosgrove, do you think?
Will they regret losing Tom Cosgrove? Cosgrove was someone who, when he was on here, certainly had good stuff. But I do think throughout the organization, they have profiles that can step in. I think another guy that we saw, a little bit spring training, is down in Double-A, who's looked really good to start the year, is Brian Auk. Auk, sort of that similar prototype left-hander, funky delivery, worked on some crossfire. You know, he reworked his slider grip this offseason and into spring training, getting a little bit more of what he called a baby spike to it. He said he's not the best supinator, so being able to kind of find a grip that helps him spin the ball a little bit better. And again, his fastball plays up because of that awkward release angle and that different delivery. I think he's someone who fits probably with what San Diego wants in that funky left-hander. So, you know, again, Cosgrove had his moments here, but I think San Diego has a plan for guys who fit a similar profile to him that could come along here in the near future if needed.
Kind of tough to break into this bullpen right now. Barring an injury or something right now, bullpen looks really good. How have you heard anything about Sean Reynolds? Now, I follow him on Instagram. I saw him, he was in a walking boot for a while. I saw him doing dead sprints in the outfield. He's such a power arm, imposing guy, he is a valuable, valuable piece. Any update on Sean Reynolds, maybe when he's going to start throwing? I could also ask the assistant GM, Josh Stein,
better
hour. But, you know, have you seen anything?
Yeah, you know, I have seen video from him throwing off the mound, it looks like, in Peoria. I believe he posted it to his Instagram story from what I had seen.
But that's where I get all my info, is Sean Reynolds' Instagram.
Yeah, you know, it's actually the greatest insider source of all time.
It really is.
Player's personal Instagram. You'll get the updates you need. But no, it does look like he's back throwing. Obviously, you saw the sprints that he was doing. In terms of a timetable, you know, I don't know exactly what they'll go along and do. I would imagine there's a possibility that they would give him a rehab start first in Lake Elsinore just to kind of be able to be close to in-house if they want to look anything. He's obviously just an hour drive away. They can go see him. But Reynolds, such you know, the power right-handed arm that I think, you know, for a little bit there, San Diego could use more of, and certainly will take more of right now.
Big time.
A heck of a profile, too, to be traded as a former position player from Miami to San Diego as a relief arm. So, you know, that's always a funny way how those things work out. So, but no, fastball looked excellent last year. The slider graded out stuff plus-wise from Fangraphs is one of the five best in baseball last year. So, getting him back would only add to the nastiness of this bullpen, but he's an electric arm. Anyone who watched him last year certainly saw that.
Clark Farron told MadFriars.com. Good stuff, Clark. Crush Appreciate the update. Thank you.
Hey, of course, guys. Thanks for having me on anytime.
I wonder, Woods, if the Padres had their way, they wouldn't want their players like Sean Reynolds to be posting anything, even injury-wise. They're just like, I don't think they'd say anything.
I don't think they care.
Why? Every team is so secretive about their injuries.
What's the benefit?
Anyway,
what's the benefit of hiding that?
There's no realistic benefit, but they all do it. I mean, just like they don't like to not control the information. They're all control freaks.
You know what was funny? In the friggin' documentary last night, Alex Cora, who went and did, he does like a weekly on one of the radio stations there. What's the one?
WEI.
But he's in there and he's doing the hit, and then he walks out and they're asking about it. He's like, yeah, you know, you got to control the narrative. I was like, oh, wow, you actually said it out loud. All right. Look at that. But I mean, look, if a pitcher's hurt and he posts an Instagram picture of him running, I don't think the league is like, Sean Reynolds is getting close. He's running sprints in the outfield. He'll be back maybe 3 to 4 weeks. Over.
Change all of our strategies.
Change every strategy. Sean Reynolds is on his way back. You hear me? The Eagle has landed.
There's a moment that cracked me up in that Red Sox documentary. Was it the clubhouse?
Yeah.
The clubhouse. Cassis, I think it was, got hurt and was going to be out for a couple of weeks and left in the middle of the game. We see that happen all the time. It happened just a couple nights ago for the Padres. When a guy leaves in the middle of the game, everyone wants to know what's going on. The manager doesn't even have an update until the end of the game. He talks to the training staff. So they show Alex Cora talking to the doctors and all that. And then usually the manager speaks with the media like within 5 minutes of the final out.
Yeah.
And he gets the diagnosis. He's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks probably, maybe longer. And then Cora goes, do I got to do media now? And they're like, yeah. And he goes, F.
Because he knows first question.
All right. Let me throw out a hypothetical for you. You've got a player on the 60-day injured mm-hmm. list who's recovering, but you don't know how quickly. If another team knew that he's almost ready to come back, they're going to need to add him to the 40. It would mean they'd also have to bump someone off, which means a player you might be interested in could be DFA'd soon. It could change your strategy to open up one of your... I mean, it's tiny.
You're overthinking it.
It's tiny. I mean, Dugout Dirt says...
We're talking about Sean Reynolds here.
Dugout Dirt is benefits of hiding injury. Masking organizational deficiency, which would be weakness for an acquisition. Like, you know, you're... Hey, we know you're desperate for pitching because this guy doesn't look like
salad
he's...
to me.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, we're stretching for a reason, but they do love to control the narrative,
sure.
As Alex Cora said.
Yeah,
they like. True. They don't like anyone else throwing information out. That's not them.
He's just running.
It's true.
He's an athlete.
Guys, I'm an athlete. I'm running.
Athletes do run.
No more videos of you guys lifting weights in the off season. We don't want anybody to know you guys are trying to improve. Okay? We want everyone to think we're fat slobs coming into the season. Manny, that's enough. We know you can clean and jerk. You don't need to post it on Instagram anymore. Chalo says no shill today. No, sir. He's every other week.
Which we can't.
Season.
We're not sure if that means bi-weekly or bi-monthly.
It's one of those.
It's those, one of those two, but we have him every other week.
Yeah, it's one of those two.
Semi-weekly.
Semi-weekly would be like Monday, Wednesday.
I think that would be bi-weekly. Semi-weekly would be every other week.
Bi-monthly.
Semi-monthly.
No, bi-monthly.
Is twice a month
bi-monthly
or bi-monthly? Twice a month is referred to as bi-monthly, not bi-weekly.
Thank you.
Bi-weekly means occurring every 2 weeks. Bi-monthly can also mean every two.
Wait. So he's both bi-weekly and bi-monthly? That makes no sense at all. How could bi-weekly and bi-monthly mean the same thing?
This is Google AI, but it says bi-weekly. This term definitively means occurring every 2 weeks.
Okay, so
bi-monthly, while it can also mean every 2 months, it's more commonly understood to mean twice a month.
Which is every 2 weeks. So
not, nece-
Essentially, bi-weekly and bi-monthly are the same thing. Well, we've got Schilt on every other week.
We'll talk to Mike Schilt.
We'll ask him.
35 next Friday.
Next Friday.
What y'all asking me?
Damn, boy.
Hey, boy.
We got Take on Woods, Josh Stein on a Friar Friday, all coming up in hour number three on a Friday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.